Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
For Andre Segovia's admirers, no compliment they could pay the great guitarist could possibly be too high. One Segovia disciple, guitarist Elliot Fisk, puts it very simply.
Segovia is to the classical guitar what Einstein was to physics.
That about sums it up. Chances are the field of classical guitar would literally not exist had Segovia not pushed the instrument forcefully in that direction. In Fisk's case, he was pushed too.
I started to hear Segovia's records and listen to them, and it sort of invaded my entire being, his music and the way of playing and the variety of playing.
Fisk was growing up in the 60s, lugging around stacks of Segovia's LPs, listening to the gems of the guitarist's recorded output.
And it seemed to speak of such a wonderful world, a wonderful universe. I spent hundreds of hours listening to his records, hundreds and hundreds of hours.
Andre Segovia had been completely self-taught and played his first concert in Granada in 1909 at age 16, with an official debut in Madrid a few years after. As word about him spread, he traveled to the European capitals, and everywhere he went, he created a quiet sensation. Audiences leaning in to hear the nuances of his performances.
In a way, it was a rediscovery, a reconnection with a great tradition from the past, and in another way, something completely new.
What was new was the idea of moving the guitar into the concert hall, commissioning new pieces and adapting old ones for the instrument. The concerts and the records made a powerful combination.
If you listen to particularly the old recordings from the 20s and 30s, you'll hear this unbelievable sound and unimaginable expressivity. You wanted to do likewise. You wanted to make that sound.
Young guitarist Elliot Fisk, as it happened, continued to try to make that sound, and before he was 20, he was heard one night by a friend of the older masters. Soon, Fisk was invited to play for his idol.
You know, here I am 19, Segovia's 81. Our ages added up to 100. You know, what did he need at that point in his life with another young player? He really didn't need me at all. But he was so generous and so warm.
So Fisk played for the master and was invited to return each year for a visit, which he did, until Segovia's death a little more than 25 years ago. He says there are still mysteries about the great master's performances of certain works.
The Concierto del Sur by Ponce, it's kind of a miracle. There are things he does there that are just, to this day, I don't know. I don't know how he did them, you know.
But for the real Segovia sound, something much more modest, from 1952.
His recording of that little tiny Chopin prelude. Dum, pum, pa, pum, bum, pum. It's about four lines. And you get this unbelievable magic in such a little amount of space.
These days, that little Chopin prelude is available for all to hear on YouTube, with a properly intense photo of the young Segovia with his very modern-looking hipster glasses.
For my lifetime, Segovia remains the sort of North Star, you know, the guiding light, the point of orientation.
All of which reminds us of just how forward-looking he really was. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.